Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Very busy Monday program lined up today. A lot on the weekend that just took place in the National Football League. We'll spin it forward to Championship Sunday. National title game is tonight. We'll hit that several times. Nick Whalen on the program. NBA bets for today here on MLK Day. By the way, happy MLK Day. Chris Felica live in Miami. His Canes, big dogs tonight for the national title. Dr. Stephen Gephardt, longtime friend of the show, longtime sports bettor, and lifelong Hoosier, will be on the show live from that stadium, and Warren Sharp a little bit later on as well. We will begin with the National Football League, Pauly. I have to admit, had the Bears big bet plus 4.5 in pocket yesterday. Never should have won that bet. And I'm not saying that because of the miraculous completion on fourth down by Caleb Williams that eventually forced overtime. I still don't know what Sean McVay was trying to do with the game plan overall. I can break down all the numbers here. The Rams should have won that game going away and never should have been in overtime. And they probably, eventually, the way it played out, should have lost, which is bonkers to me.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do it again. What a play. An all-timer. The ball traveled 51 yards in the air to run backwards. It reminded me of Auburn and Alabama. Why is that single coverage? You know what they're going to do.
And then he lost him.
He's wide open. And commit. Yeah. How does that happen? It's like the when it was Milrow on 4th and 80, whatever it was, and the guy's got single coverage in the back of the end zone. But if there was ever a time to go for two, that was it. And I thought Ben Johnson was going to do it. And it's interesting that both teams that won the coin toss decided to kick off, and they both lost, even though they got stops.
Well,
so I also can't believe how many times, and he's been in numerous big games, that McVay says, you know what, I did a horrible job afterwards. And he said it again yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Where it just, no one throws more than this guy, third and one. The bizarre play calling. And I just don't know if Stafford's still bothered with the finger. He had some bad moments, but the throw to Adams on the sideline, incredible. But if you get that kind of performance from your defense, if you're the Bears, you got to win that game. And the defense was so good, but as we've talked about all year, they were plus 22 in the turnover differential this year, number one in the league, number one in turnover, fewest turnovers and takeaways, yet they were minus three, and they were minus two against the Packers.
That's right.
So all year they did this. Play clean, take the ball away, make the other team make mistakes, and they were minus five in the playoffs, and they go home, and that was a tough one.
I respect Ben Johnson's decision not to go for two because he talked about it after the game, and he said, I did not like our short yardage stuff throughout the game.
Okay.
He was not confident in it, so that's why he wanted to kick the extra point. And
bizarre play calling, though, too, I would say.
Okay. But that's a guy who has had the pulse of the game the entire time and a feel for it. He's like, it's not there tonight. Not working for us, so I'm going to take my chances by going to overtime instead. And again, the recipe to beating that team and to McVay's, you know, thinking afterwards, like, I screwed that one up again. The game plan all week long should have been, we're going to give it. Where was Corum, by the way, in the game?
Right.
So,
because I had these props, right? And Williams, we just missed the plus 650. He had 24 yards rushing in the first half. He had two carries for 6 yards in the second quarter. Well, how does this happen?
It's again, all of the numbers indicated that the Bears are one of the weakest teams against stopping the run, and the Rams are elite with the offensive line, right? So 7 rushing attempts in the first half. Overall, 27 dropbacks. Stafford was sacked 4 times, 2 fumbles. After halftime, you had a few minutes there to think about it, right? They ran the ball 3 times in the third quarter. 7, 7, 10 yards.
Yep.
And all these, and what, guys, come on. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know which coordinator maybe got in his ear, but finally it worked and Williams got going and eventually scored the go-ahead touchdown at 17-10 in that fourth quarter. That guy might come back and bite him in the ass against Seattle now.
Yeah.
McVay.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we talked about that so far in the playoffs over the first two rounds?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's right there in front of your face. You know what to do, and the coaches don't do it. And then after the game, like, yeah, boy, that's on me.
Yeah.
No kidding.
John Payton, the second rushing attempt for a running back occurred 12 minutes in the second quarter. And you're going against, in the mainstream stats, a team that's 28th against the run and 31st DVOA. I don't get it.
I don't.
But, you know, the Bears could also say we let one get away too with the miscommunication on the final interception. Maybe Williams was bothered by the finger, which he got hit in the head by Verse. Again, no call.
True.
That would have been first and goal. That was on the fourth down play. And I just don't know what happened with the passing attack, where you just the guys disappeared and it was non-existent, which they had some success on the ground. But forever, Odunze was stuck on one catch. He had the big catch early and the big catch late, and that was it. So I did not expect that kind of game and that performance out of the Bears' offense, and tough to take that the defense played so well, and yet the Rams get it done.
I don't think it was necessary to have that play call or for Williams to throw the pass like that. You're at the 50-yard line. Again, you can run the ball on the Rams.
Yeah.
And he had two INTs already in the game. I didn't care for that play call there.
Yeah, you could say there was no need for it. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. And then, by the way, the effort by DJ Moore, he gave up on the play.
He did.
That was sad.
Yep. I don't understand the all-out blitz on third and six. You just gave it to Puka.
Yeah.
That was stealing. That was a mistake to send the house there. And another one, hey, McVay, you want to move closer on the field goal? I mean, you're having success on the ground. He goes pass, on second and third down.
How about that?
But thicker kicker nailed it. So special teams has bit him in the ass, but they got it done yesterday. And we set up round three here against Seattle.
And Seahawks, a bigger favorite in this game as of right now than they closed a month ago when they played on that Thursday night. They're about a point and a half favorite in that game, down 30-14, and then you got the insane comeback to actually eventually win in overtime. They went for two multiple times, got it all.
Yeah.
But that defense is just playing out of their minds here lately.
You agree with Caleb Williams? The future's bright?
Oh, 100%.
Tough loss, but we're going to be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the schedule will not be any easier next year, first place schedule, and that turnover stuff's going to come back and regress on the team. So I would not expect, I'm not going to run out to bet their win total over or like NFC futures next season.
Yeah. Same thing happened to Houston. They had the second fewest turnovers in the league. How'd that go? I mean, it was just Jacksonville had the third most takeaways, and they were great in the turnover differential. They didn't get it done against the Bills. It was weird how this played out in the playoffs with the top teams in the turnover differential and not giving it away.
Yeah.
And the exact opposite happened in all these games.
Yeah, and you know, when games are over with, bets aside, it's like you feel bad for a unit or one side of the football team, and they deserved a better fate. That would be the Houston Texans defense.
Oh,
They were so good yesterday.
Oh,
and I got to be honest, at this point, there's absolutely no way they can give C.J. Stroud an extension.
Did New England only score 7 points off all those turnovers?
I believe that was.
That's incredible.
I know.
And the Patriots didn't want to take it.
Nope.
May kept saying, here, we're going to keep you in the game.
And how about the fumble luck from that team yesterday?
The fumble luck's incredible. Cousin Sal had a great line, the MVP of the season, the Patriots schedule. So now they take on a quarterback who's won one game in his career. And now Seattle's hurt, too. Oh, this is lucked out with the Patriots. But it's still 21-16 late in the game.
I know.
As bad as he played, and all those turnovers and four picks, they still had a chance to win the game. They're only down five.
Yeah, so he kept giving them the ball on every single opportunity, and the Texans defense was like, well, we have to play out of our minds today, so we're going to get them right back off the field. Here are the numbers. Pats, first team since 1987 to win a playoff game with 13 first downs or fewer, 3-plus turnovers, and 250 yards or fewer.
Yeah.
The last 30 teams of those numbers lost by an average of 21.3 points. They averaged 4 yards per play, 3 for 14 on third downs, and they allowed 5 sacks. We asked the question, could he be any worse than in the Steelers game? The answer, yes, absolutely.
Can you believe that? If we mentioned that on the pregame show yesterday, what if I tell you Stroud's going to be worse? You'd say impossible.
Right.
After how bad he played against Pittsburgh. And what exactly, I think this hurts the locker room. What did he actually have to do to get benched? Because after the game, Ryan said I wasn't concerned. Davis Mills beat the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Jacksonville and scored 19 fourth quarter, rallied him down from 19, rather. I mean, they could have won that game if they made a quarterback change.
Sure. It's a no-brainer. You got to make that move. That was, they made a move instead. They were not even trying to win the game by keeping Stroud in. That was more of like, we invested a very high draft pick on the guy, so we're going to protect that idea. We don't want him to be hurt. We don't want to hurt his feelings. That's what it felt like to me. Guys, Mills can come in there clearly. Again, I love reading like body language. The guy was absolutely shot after like the second turnover yesterday.
Refuses to take a sack. And it was like Drake May said in the pregame, it's okay to punt. It's okay. It's just don't make the mistake and don't be the reason you lose. And he was again. Horrible. I mean, it's to be the third year in the league, and this is where we're at
mm-hmm.
after how well he played his rookie season. And they also feel like they're kind of jinxed and cursed as they're the only team that's never made a conference title game, and they're 0-7 now in this round. But I also have to give it up to New England's defense.
Oh, no question.
Phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah, they look great.
The Houston running backs, 18 for 31. The Charger running backs, 12 for 30. And the difference the big fellow Williams makes in the middle and how well he played. But New England has 240 yards, 3 for 14 on third down. Win the game and cover. Incredible.
Remarkable, really.
Yeah, and how about this? We all lose again as fans. Every AFC title game since 2011 has either been New England or Kansas City.
Well,
I can't believe that if
football gods exist, certainly they've been hovering around the Boston area now for 25 years, because they had the best run in the history of the sport, or basically any sport, with Brady, and then a handful of years later, Oh by the way, here's the setup, and you're going to have to go through the Chargers' offensive line. You're going to take on C.J. Stroud and get that performance, and now you have to play Jared Stidham.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to beat Denver, and Darnold's going to get hurt, and Seattle's going to win.
There you go.
That's how it's going to play out.
And New England's going to win, you mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's how it is. No. Yeah. Right. New England wins.
And Seattle wins,
and Darnold gets hurt.
There you go.
It'll be Drew Lock.
Yep, and the oblique will come back and bite him. Yeah, there you go.
Unbelievable.
That's the path.
Getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, and the video. Get our guides as well, Super Bowl and the upcoming Madness. VSiN.com/subscribe, code FTM.
Up next, the title game numbers for this coming Sunday. Yet another head coach was fired, and look at where that number is now in the national title game.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So now we're down to three games left in the National Football League.
Don't say
it. I know. I don't count the Pro Bowl. Most people don't. But in the early game, Patriots-Broncos AFC title game, some books opened up 6 on this game. So the look-ahead number was Denver minus 1.5 with Bo Nix. Now he's out. That's a 7.5-point swing.
Now, that's crazy.
From Bo Nix to Stidham, that's absolutely nuts.
Right. I know Sean Payton's confident, and they're talking a lot of trash and referencing how he was coached in New England and what McDaniels thinks of him and on and on. But for a guy who's won one game in his career and hasn't thrown a pass in 3 years, this is a brutal assignment against a hell of a defense. So it would be fitting if somehow they could keep it close. But I'm also concerned. I don't know if it's the interviews and he's always got too much going on, but this Denver defense has been terrible with Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
I mean, guys were wide open all game for Buffalo, and then how they played against Jacksonville down the stretch. So I'm not so sure that they're going to get enough stops as well to help out Stidham, because you would figure it'd be the recipe as a low-scoring game.
Well, I think that what we're going to get from every other player on Denver is the absolute A-game performance from them, the ultimate effort spot here, because they realize, well, we don't have Nix anymore, but we have 1 week to patch it together with Stidham. And I think just every other player is going to show up juiced to the gills in this game. And if the Patriots beat them and they cover, they're going to have to, because here's the deal. Remember, it's the same organization. That defense in 2015 was better. That was like all time good.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was a bad quarterback that year. And he was completely hobbled. And they're playing Tom Brady and the Patriots at home to go to the Super Bowl. And that defense for that game played out of their minds. And they wrecked Brady the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The pressures, the quarterback hits, the overall sacks. And that was just, everybody was so inspired.
Campbell was terrible yesterday. I know you're going against good guys, but, I mean, those nasty defenders with Houston. But on the flip side, you can't be plus 4 in the turnover battle and have to win in overtime.
They should not have won the game. That's another story.
Yeah, but the Bills handed it to them, but it's just a lot of cause for concern, not to mention what's happening. So we've seen Hostetler do it. You've seen Foles, but not with this short turnaround. I mean, the
guy
hasn't
a big difference.
Yeah, the guy hasn't thrown a pass in 3 years, and he's 1-3 career with his record. So it's a good discussion about what the point spread should be, and when people jumped in and decided, say, enough's enough. I got to take the 6 or the 5.5, whatever. But it's now it's been a house of horrors for him. They're 0-4 all time in the playoffs in Denver, and they've had issues in Denver, no doubt about it. But this, with the way May's playing, he's been a little erratic. But I think they'll be able to run the ball on him, too.
So do I. I think that's going to be the key to the game.
Gashed him on the ground. And you see Stevenson running angry and how good Henderson is, and certainly a lot of weapons. And maybe you get a big break that you get Dobbins back, too, if you're Denver.
Yeah.
That's trending in that direction.
By the way, yesterday on the Sunday morning Pro Football Tailgate show, Paul Charchin was in studio. He nailed a ton of his bets that he gave out. But one of which was the Patriots' key is when Stevenson and Henderson, they get over 10 carries. And that was basically the rushing attempts prop yesterday on both guys. One was 9.5, the other was 10.5. And that's when they score like more points per game than when they don't get those many carries. Both guys went over. They scored the 28 points. I gift wrap by Houston. That's fine, whatever. But I think that's the way, and that's going to be the recipe to beating Denver's defense again this week. And May's awesome. He was not great yesterday, but May overall is really, really good. But I think the key here is running is easier against Denver than throwing the football. Again, that defense is a little bit like the Rams, how they've been trending here down the stretch.
Yep. There is a 2.5 available at FanDuel in the first half and at Fanatics. This incredible run first half for the Patriots. And it's now 16-3 ATS for the season. And it's, 17-1-1 on a money line.
Mm-hmm.
Bananas.
There was also something I brought up on the show yesterday. Like, if you liked the Patriots in the game yesterday against the Texans, you kind of had to take +130 to win the AFC. Because the news was already in that you were going to get Stidham and not Knicks, and you were going to be a favorite. On the look-ahead line, you were at least 4.5. So that was going to happen, and +130 was out there in that spot. And the other game, the Seahawks now toggling back and forth, was 3 earlier this morning. Now, number has moved down to 2.5, and that 3 doesn't look like it's available anymore.
Well, I think Stafford's hurt. And also the bad news that Charbonnet is out for the – who knows when he's coming back.
Yeah, right.
With the torn ACL. Horrible news there for Seattle. We're still waiting on Darnold to implode. Hopefully it doesn't happen Sunday, but this defense is filthy. 10 of the last 13 games have held the opponents to 20 points or fewer. Second fewest points allowed. League low, 3.7 yards per carry. Sam's just got to be clean.
I took Kenneth Walker 15-1 to win Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, not bad. I don't mind the Shaheed stuff either after he was so good.
No, no.
And they won a game and JSN didn't have to do anything, and it was big, and Cup was big. 16-1 most receiving in that game. So I think it's going to be Patriots-Seattle. And then we'll see how many injuries Seattle has in the win. It's based on this New England nonsense.
Uh-huh. Would you have any interest in teasing the Rams up to 8.5? And you can combine it with the game that we have tonight. The Hoosiers here at Circa. Actually, it's out of teaser range. Down to 7 now, -120.
Okay, so the cheapest money line is here. 275. So for all you people with your future tickets, and there's some big ones out there.
Oh, yeah.
Miami was 250-1. And they were 125-1 selection Sunday. And there was some, 100-1, 40-1. I think Humans has 12-1 on Indiana. So Indiana -275 at Circa. And the biggest take back I'm seeing is down the street at the South Point, +280 on Miami.
Wow, okay.
So for your hedging tickets there, try to lock something in.
We both have write-ups for the game at VSiN.com. A bunch of hosts here did. It's available on the website right now. And I took Miami +8.5, which is no longer available. And in my synopsis, Paulie, for the handicap and for the game is that, how long have we heard that Miami has as much talent as anybody in the country? Over and over and over again. Heard it repeatedly after they beat Ohio State. They took it to the Buckeyes, by the way, as bigger dogs than they are in this game. And maybe at one point of the season, Indiana would have been 8.5-point favorites at the time, again, when I made the write-up and when I made the bet. And that was when Miami had a couple of losses in October and Indiana was putting the screws at teams like Oregon and a couple of others in that stretch. They probably would have been 8.5 in that range. But that's it. That's the only window this entire year where they would have been that much. And the look-ahead number was like 5.5. So, look, this could be – they're an absolute – train right now, and I don't really like to hop in front of trains very often. And it could be, I don't know, a three-score game at halftime, and I'm going to hate myself. But I took the 8.5. And you're on a couple of props in the game.
I love Fletcher over rushing and Brown over rushing. Longest touchdown under 41.5 yards. And again, Miami knows, crystal ball knows, they have to run the ball, chew clock, shorten the game, and keep Mendoza on the sidelines.
How about Fletcher attempts over as well?
Yep.
16.5.
He's at 100 yards in two of the three playoff wins. He was awesome against A&M. And Brown came in. He had a touchdown in the Ole Miss game. And he had some big carries for him. He's sitting there like 24.5. Mm-hmm. I like him over, and I think it's going to be a lot of carries for these guys. And we'll see if they can slow these guys down and keep them off the sidelines. But there's some great stuff here we'll get to later with Felica. The trend is blowouts. The favorite.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite not only wins, they blow them out. And we've seen that several times going back, but history is not on Miami's side here. The one thing is, if you go back and look, when the dog has cover, this is BCS playoff, go back a long ways. When the dog gets the money, they win outright. So if you want to look at alts, because we're fingers crossed we get a competitive game, Miami -3.5 is +410, and Indiana -22.5 is 5-1. So if you want to play the blowout or Miami, you know, Indiana blows them out or Miami wins outright, yeah, there's some big prices on there.
How about this? So the total is now ticked down to 46.5, was as high as 48.5. This is from Steve Mackinnon, vsin.com. He has incredible trends on the national title game. We'll run all of them down a little bit later on. Bettors are on a 0-12-1 slide in the national title game when moving totals in recent history. 0-12-1. They've been wrong every single time with the exception of one push when the total moves last 13 times. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Also, I got to ask Felica, in his opinion, like, what does the common opponent mean? Because Indiana, they were fortunate to beat Ohio State. They were very good in the game defensively. But also, I thought Ryan Day was dumb in that game with the play calling, and they left points on the board after those two long drives. They won 13-10. Miami, I thought, took it to Ohio State, and they won 24-14. And I actually think that score was a little misleading.
Yep.
Could have been worse.
The three favorites of greater than 7 points in the college football playoff championship game all covered and won by 11, 58, and 28. The last six title games have been won by the favorite, which has covered by an average of 18 points per game. 15 of the last 18 BCS college football playoff title games were won outright by the favorite. Thanks to the Berries coming up later from the stadium.
Up next, more thoughts on Championship Sunday and player props on today's NBA card. Nick Whalen on the program. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Busy day as always today in the NBA, MLK Day. We'll get some thoughts and player props on that coming up here in a few minutes. And also, early thoughts on Championship Sunday as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Nick Whalen joins the program now. He is with RotoWire. Nick, good afternoon. We talked about both these games for the first half hour of the show today, the AFC and the NFC title games. First of all, your initial reaction to the opening number at several books after, obviously, the Bo Nix injury and the Patriots won yesterday. Pats were 6. On the opener, down, it's now down between like 4.5, 5, even like a 5.5 number out there. But your initial thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it's tough because obviously New England has, in some ways, dominated these first two matchups. But offensively, I think they've left a lot to be desired, right? Drake May has had two of his worst games of the season in terms of ball security. You get another really tough defense after facing two difficult defenses already. So I think Denver kind of knows what the script has to be. And to some degree, you never want to get into a higher scoring game if you're the Broncos, whether you have Bo Nix or not. I think that is now especially the case with Jared Stidham stepping in. I would be surprised if this ends up being a total walkover for New England. Maybe you could make the case that they are due to play a better offensive game and Drake May will have learned something from these first two postseason starts. But I think Sean Payton looks at this as a challenge. Like, hey, we got the AFC Championship game at home. I still have a chance to win this with a quarterback who's been in the building for 3 years. This isn't Max Brosmer starting this game for Denver. I think there will be a baseline level of competency for Jared Stidham. And you have to kind of go back to find other examples of situations like this. Everybody will mention Nick Foles, which I don't think we're getting that kind of run from Jarrett Stidham, but I remember the Caleb Haney game against the Green Bay Packers in, I think it was 2011, in the NFC Championship game. Now, Cutler started that game. He got hurt early in the second half. Haney came in and finished it out. And Green Bay, with peak Aaron Rodgers, only won that game by a touchdown. And Chicago was driving, you know, with 2 minutes left to potentially tie it up. So too many concerns for me offensively for the New England Patriots to just assume that they're going to go into Mile High playing on the road for the first time and dominate that game. With that said, guys, Denver absolutely needs to find a way to run the ball. Houston was able to do nothing on the ground with Woody Marks yesterday, and Denver basically abandoned the run early on against Buffalo, which is very concerning against that Bills defense.
Yep. That was a bad job by Peyton, and I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball. Even if you get Dobbins back, based on how nasty this defense has been against the run in the playoffs and when they're healthy. How about Sutton not getting a catch till late in the game?
Look, as somebody who had Cortland Sutton on a lot of fantasy teams, this is just life when you're putting your faith in Bo Nix. You know, I don't think the plan for Denver was to have Bo Nix throw the ball 46 times in this game. I'm with you on the play calling, you know, especially with the way that Jacksonville was able to exploit that Bills defense on the ground. And we came out of that game saying the Jags didn't run it enough. You know, for Denver, I know they didn't have the same level of success early on, but to completely go away from that when they had a 2-score lead, you know, for a decent chunk of this game, I thought was very strange. Ended up working out for them, but man, there are not a lot of games where you turn it over five times and still have a chance to win in overtime.
Yes. So also, the Buffalo defense was terrible this year, and they give up.
Right.
They score 30 points on the road and lose. So what do you do now if you're Buffalo? Would they fire McDermott? Who should they hire? Who would you hire?
Well, the name to me who appeals most, and I wonder if he regrets already accepting the Atlanta Falcons job, is Kevin Stefanski. I have a ton of respect for what he's been able to do in Cleveland, you know, having two coach of the years, you know, two double-digit win seasons with that roster, with that front office, with that group of quarterbacks. You know, I think that would be kind of the archetype of coach that I'm looking for. You know, we often do see teams kind of bounce back and forth when you do the defensive-focused hire in Sean McDermott. You know, oftentimes maybe you want an offensive guy coming in. I'm sure you guys have seen the Brian Daboll rumors in Buffalo. That would make sense. He was the offensive coordinator for their two best offensive seasons with Josh Allen. There's a level of familiarity there. It'd be a little odd given how things went in New York, but I am not somebody who thought Brian Daboll should have been on the hook for how things went for them this season. So if they ultimately do go in that direction, when there's not a Ben Johnson, no doubt got to hire that offensive guru type of candidate out there, I think Daboll is probably the most interesting hire, if nothing else.
Do you want the 2.5 with the Rams in the NFC title game, the one that's later on in the afternoon / evening on Sunday, or do you want the home team here?
Initially, guys, I'm on Seattle, and I don't feel great about it. You know, I was telling our guy Dustin Sweetelson late last night, deep down, I still think the Rams are the best team. I've been clinging to that. They've made that a lot more difficult to back up over these last 5 or 6 weeks. But I still think the Rams' best game beats anyone else's best game. But I also think the chances of the Rams playing their best game on both ends, and if we're including special teams here, where I think Seattle has a distinct advantage, I think the chances of the Rams doing that are significantly less now than I would have said they were even a month ago. You know, you have to be really concerned about how that defense and how the special teams units close the regular season. I know that defense ended up clamping down. They forced three huge turnovers on Caleb Williams. He still gave up over 400 yards to that Bears offense. I think Seattle comes into this game with a ton of confidence. You know, they've mounted comebacks now against this Rams team twice, finished it off once, did not finish it off the other time. Not having Zach Charbonnet definitely matters, but they've been able to get that ground game going over the last month. That dates back to the end of the regular season. Just too many concerns about the Rams defense right now for me. I think the offense will ultimately be fine. I don't think the weather is going to be as much of a concern as it was this past week, but you know, maybe you could count on Sam Darnold to give you those same turnovers as Caleb Williams, but if he's not, I think Seattle wins that game.
All right. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, our guest, wrote a wire. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X. He's at Whalen, but use the number one, not the letter L. NBA tonight. The Jazz have had a really difficult schedule this week, and the road trip concludes here this afternoon. In fact, the game's tipping off at 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock out here on the West Coast, so in like 25 minutes from right now. Spurs are laying 16.5. How did you attack this game?
Not laying the 16.5 for San Antonio. A couple props that I like on the Spurs side, though. Keldon Johnson, digging a little bit deeper here into the bench, over 1.5 threes is something I have for tonight. Jazz are allowing by far the most three-point attempts per game in the NBA. They play at one of the fastest paces in the NBA. Johnson's gone over this number in five of his last seven, went 5 of 7 from beyond the arc in their previous meeting, and he's taken about 5 threes per game over his last seven. And then another bench guy for San Antonio, and this is kind of playing into the number here, assuming perhaps that the Spurs are leading by a large margin in the second half. I think we could see more Dylan Harper out there, so I like the over 14.5 points plus assists for him. Utah not only allowing the most threes, but allowing by far the most assists in the NBA, almost 32 per game over their last 10. And again, if you want to go back to that first Spurs Jazz matchup, Dylan Harper is only double-digit assist game in the NBA this season, came against Utah.
Okay, very good. I love that. Looking for the sneaky bench guys who are going to get more time in a 16.5 point spread in the NBA. So you figure this could easily turn into a blowout. Are we still going to call, so the Heat play the Warriors tonight in San Francisco. Are we still going to consider these games revenge games for Jimmy Butler against Miami?
I never really know what Jimmy Butler is thinking. You know, didn't even play in the first matchup against Miami, but the way you can exploit the Heat right now to me in the prop market is just with rebounds. You know, they are a decent rebounding team when you look at the percentage numbers, but because they're playing so quickly, you know, they are bottom five in terms of just total rebounds allowed because of that pace. Jimmy Butler has gone over his rebounds prop 5.5 in 4 straight games. So I think that's one that could continue tonight. And then one more that I'll give you guys, Tyrese Maxey over 28.5 points against the Pacers. That number might be up a little bit, grabbed it at 28.5 last night. I don't think Joel Embiid is going to play. I don't think Paul George is going to play. It's the front end of a back-to-back for Philly. Those guys have not played back-to-backs all season. Neither of them went through shoot around, and Tyrese Maxey sees his usage rate jump up close to 33% with no Embiid and no PG on the court.
Okay, so 28.5 you said was the number?
That's the number I got last night. Okay. I can see where it's at now.
Yeah, because
probably a bit higher.
You're exactly spot on. When those two guys don't play...
Oh, 30.5.
It's 30.5 now. I would also...
30.5 at DraftKings.
Yeah. He's going to, based on his usage overall as well, he'll probably take 10, 12, 13, 14 threes maybe in this game. Like Grayson Allen territory, LaMelo Ball territory, plus money and over 3.5 if you can find that, I think. And also like the PRAs with him, right? Because he could have 8 assists in this game tonight and go over that 30 points as well.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrese Maxey has been one of the most dependable players to play in the prop market. You know, you get that. It's somewhere between 26.5 and 30.5 in terms of the points just about every night. You can kind of play the matchups as far as whether or not Embiid and PG are out there. And honestly, even when Embiid plays, we're still seeing Maxey, score in the high 20s just about every night. And he's one of those guys that if he has a down first half, it's never over. Like, he can have 8 points in the first half and all of a sudden 24 in the second. I mean, he was just announced as an all-star starter for a reason. You know, I think all the chaos that goes on with the Philadelphia 76ers because of Embiid, because of Paul George, it has been lost a little bit, just how good Tyrese Maxey has been. I think there's a case to be made that he's been maybe the fourth or fifth best player in the league this season.
Totally agree. I love his game. He gets better every single year. So we're on the same page there. Nick, thank you for the time. Best of luck tonight and this week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep. There you go. Nick Whalen, RotoWire on the Progressive Guest Line. There's also a Malinsky special in a game today in the NHL starting in an hour and 20 minutes. Eric with an email. Check out the Sharks. They're as high as plus 160 on the road against the Panthers. Panthers off a long road trip. They had games on January 6th, 8th, 10th, 12th, 16th, and 17th. And so now that's 3 and 4 days, by the way, in 3 different cities. Sharks played January 15th in Washington and the 16th in Detroit. 2 full days of rest. And younger, faster team, long road trip, veteran. So plus 160 neighborhood.
Let's do that hockey. It's getting good now. Connor McDavid, 12 straight overs at home, shots on goal. Thank you to Jonathan Davis.
Win some, lose some. Coming up next, Paulie's going to recap a lot of the betting action from the weekend here on VSiN.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right. Fantastic weekend. A lot of big tickets cashed, as always. Phenomenal run. Let's start with the first game, Broncos and Bills. Overtime, 12-1. Denver in overtime, 17-1. Will the game go to overtime for the weekend, period? plus 450. Humphrey, anytime touchdown, 12-1. Mims, anytime, 8-1. Hardman, first touchdown of the game, 75-1 at Circa and 125-1 at other spots. Incredible. Would he play? Would he even get a catch? And he has the first touchdown, and a couple people had it.
Yeah, well, it had to be him and not Samuel.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't believe that. And they run the same play that they ran in Kansas City. And that cashes.
He was on the practice squad late in the week.
Yeah.
But you knew that they were going to have to call him up because they were down to three guys overall. How about the drop by Keon Coleman, by the way? I know there was a flag on the play, but my God.
Yeah. Offensive lineman to score a touchdown, 20-1. DraftKings had that. Coleman anytime, plus 850. Mims, we'll get back to him in a second. Most receiving yards in the game, 50-1. That cashed. Field goal each quarter, plus 550. Each team to have a touchdown and a field goal each half, 14-1. Kincaid, most yards for a tight end on the weekend, plus 650. Cooks, 50 yards each half, plus 550. Seahawks, 49ers. A lot of controversy about how this was graded. I think it's a bunch of bunk that some books didn't pay out Shaheed anytime. First touchdown of the game, Shaheed, 20-1. Anytime, 4-1. Opening kickoff return for a touchdown, 100-1. Shaheed first score and Seattle special teams both should be paid out.
Yeah, some books did not pay it Shaheed. They paid it Seattle defensive/special teams first touchdown score.
And we know someone they didn't pay Shaheed. I mean, Shaheed had
right.
a touchdown.
That's right.
Anytime touchdown should be a winner. Walker, 3 touchdowns, 40-1. Cup most receiving, 16-1. Patriots, Texans. I love the NFL. It's sad it's going to be gone soon. That was a horrific, unwatchable game yesterday with all the turnovers. Pop! First touchdown, Douglas, 27-1. Anytime plus 450. Booty, anytime 6-1. Defensive touchdown, 3-1. Drake May, 12-0 straight up when laying 3 points or more. Rams, Bears, overtime, 12-1. First touchdown, Williams, 6-1. Most yards in the... Did you see this? It was a three-way tie.
I did.
Loveland, Parkinson, who was like 80-1.
Yeah.
And Puka.
And Superfly Puka.
Yes. They all tied.
Yeah, Parkinson was 80-1. But that's a good dead heat to take down.
It is. Scoreless quarter somehow cashes. Plus 350. Komet anytime. Plus 550. Most passing yards. Allen 8-1. Most rushing yards. Cook 4-1. I retweeted him. Got to give him a shout out. Kudos that it was offered. Dead money Degens had Mims most receiving yards, 250-1. And he's got the ticket there.
And
unbelievable. 400-1 with Kirk last week. 250 on Mims. So you got a 50-1 and a 250-1 if you messed around with Mims.
Great job out of him. Anything can happen when all of a sudden injuries start to happen, cluster injuries at the same position. They were peppering Bryant to begin the game. 3 catches on the first possession.
No, and Franklin got hurt.
All right.
Bryant got hurt. Sutton, not in the mix till the fourth quarter. Most points, Seahawks 3-1. Fewest points, Niners 3-1. Lowest scoring game, Rams, Bears plus 450. He goes out with a bang. Fairbairn, 28-4 overrun. 1.5 made field goals.
Man, just got a tip of the cap to that guy.
And Stroud let us down last week. Sam Darnold, 14-0 in his career when laying 6 points or more. Premier League, Man U plus 270. Liverpool Burnley draw plus 575. They had 31 shots. What? 1-1 final. West Ham plus 320. Arsenal Nottingham Forest draw plus 290. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. This is in Bloomington already. They were lining up last night at 9 o'clock to get a spot at the pub as they're ready to try to go undefeated and win the championship. I don't know. It's not like it's Metallica at Spear or something, but I know.
I can't. I mean.
To get in line, it's 10 degrees. That's the other thing.
Well,
look at this line to get into a sports bar.
You're used to it if you live there. And there's heavy drinking, obviously, in the Midwest during the winter months. So.
Look at the line. All right, go get them. A lot of people taking shots at Indiana fans. I think it's unfair.
What?
The guy's doing screen grabs of, here's the crowd, Cignetti's first game against Florida International. And It's a bandwagon. I think that's outrageous.
They were the worst Division One power ever. Team yeah. ever.
No, they're coming
Knock
back.
It off.
Yeah, they're coming back. Well, it's Big Ten fans, I know. They're coming back saying we were tailgating. It was, you know, whatever. But
they don't have to come up. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Things are getting chippy.
They're totally fine.
Yep. Dog doesn't leave the kids until they're on the bus. How good is this? Every morning he comes out, stands guard right by him. Is it a boxer? I can't tell. But anyways, they get on the bus, make sure they're safe, shut the door, and I come home on about my day. There he is. Turns around. Does it every single day. That's phenomenal.
Good enough for me.
That is
They're
great.
They're safe. Here yep. I come.
Good for him. How about the dog playing the piano? Usually it's the beagle. This time it's the husky. And they like to talk and sing anyways. So he jumps right up there playing a few notes. Hit me. Oh, that's great. Good job by the husky. Lose some. Teams off a wild card win as a dog. And they're a dog in the divisional round? 3-25 straight up that went. They were 0-3 this week. That's incredible.
Wow, okay.
How is this now? Josh Allen is 0-7 career in overtime.
Well, the game that he played in, the all-time classic against the Chiefs, they changed the overtime rules because of that game.
Yeah.
Never got the ball.
And the Bills are 3-13 going back in overtime. How are you? How is that guy 0-7 in overtime?
Got to say, weird timing with McDermott firing. Josh Allen was far from great in that game.
I think it's more so we didn't get it done, and he's getting up there in age.
I know.
And the defense sucked again. I know. Tough. Houston, 0-7 all-time in the divisional round, while the Patriots have won 9 in a row in the divisional round. And every AFC title game since 2011 has featured Kansas City or New England. One lose some. You know, you were drawn dead if you liked the Texans. This was Friday on NFL Live on ESPN. They all picked the same thing. Look at the reaction.
Yeah, they knew.
They all picked Houston to win the game. Hannah Storm, Orlovsky covering his face, Mina Kimes running for cover. How does that happen?
It's the ultimate kiss of death.
An underdog.
Especially a road dog.
A road dog. They all picked them. You know what? That happened. Some bad beats. Condolences to Mitch. He had it. Humphrey, first touchdown was 45-1. How do you drop that?
I don't know.
Perfect throw. Come on.
Right on the money.
And Loveland over receiving yards. Had the concussion, went out of the game.
That's right.
Vicious beat if you had Loveland over. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by advanced AI and connected to proven insider sources. Locked in on the NFL playoffs, the sharp plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, market-moving insights, straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been at it since 2011. Great results, logs, and receipts. Donated over $22,000 to charity with the Robinhood Plays. SharpPlays.com. Get the info. Trusted by pros. SharpPlays.com.
Wow, some movement here on the next head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
What would you do?
Let me report this first.
Okay, yeah.
Because earlier today when they sent this out, Mike McDaniel was 3-1, the short shot.
Yeah, come on.
Clint Kubiak was 8-1. Well, I don't know how much money. This is at an offshore book. They probably don't take a ton on this kind of stuff. Clint Kubiak's now plus 125.
Ooh. Now, it's supposed to be an offensive coach, according to sources. They're going to go offense.
Right.
Which my comeback is the defense let you down.
Well, they just had a defensive
McDermott.
Guy, though.
Yeah.
So would you go back-to-back to defense?
My first call is a Cignetti and offer him as much as I can. And then I like the Flores-Dable connection. And Flores would coach the team, and Oof. Dable would be the OC. That's what I'd like to do. If Cignetti makes Cignetti say no.
I would not go Mike McDaniel if I
no
were
way.
Them.
No.
Absolutely not. Davis Webb has been a popular guy out there. Former teammate with Josh Allen. OC now in the league. Joe Brady, this guy probably deserves a chance at some point. But is it with Buffalo, a team that's in their championship window right now? That was also another reason they're moving into that new stadium next year. Uh-huh. Maybe they just want to...
Okay. Yeah.
Wipe it clean.
Did you think he knew it was coming because of how animated he was with the call?
Maybe.
Calling reporters from the plane?
Could have been.
Coming back, meeting with the media again?
Yeah, yeah. But also...
It's a tough call, but you had 5 turnovers, Sean.
That was an all-time disgrace by what the league did and the broadcast on Saturday night. All-time bad.
That play deserves up 3-4 minutes.
People are pissed off, by the way, on emails and tweets today. They're asking, what about the Bears game yesterday? Kind of same play.
Uh-huh.
So we'll head to Miami, talk Hurricanes and Hoosiers, all the marbles coming up next. Chris the Bear Felica on the program. Does he like his beloved Canes in the game tonight?